What's going on, guys? It's your boy Big Baby Steve. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Philly Talks. Guys, I truly appreciate you guys. Every time you guys listen, every time you guys tune in, I appreciate it. I the love and support that you guys give, I can't put it into words. You know, if anybody would have told me that I would have about 1,000 listeners on a podcast just talking about me, I would have called them crazy. I would have been like, nah, maybe I get like 100 if I'm lucky. But you know, I appreciate all the love that you guys show and the support. So thank you again. And I'm going to keep working hard, and I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm trying to build a team now. You know what I'm saying? The team's coming together. I'm going to build a nice team around me, and we're going to get this thing moving. You know what I'm saying? But before all that, I want to give a shout out to Perfect Touch. They tint windows and they do auto dealing. Basically, like, clean your cars inside and out. If you got a bad stain, they do that too. Like, the Perfect Touch, they're based out of North Philly on Front Street. If you're from the North Philadelphia area, give them a call. They're good people. You know what I'm saying? Last year I went to go and get some tinting done for like a early birthday gift to myself, and I was looking around for people that had like good prices to do all my windows, the sides, the back, and the front. And they came up and gave me a hell of a deal, and I was like, okay, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? And they did one hell of a job. Now they just got new computer cutting window tinting as well. So now they can measure yours to the perfect. Like, they were already doing a good job by themselves. Now that they got the computer cutting, like, they got it's so much good now. Like, they can fit your window perfectly now. So you don't have to worry about now, like, oh, are they gonna get the measurements right? They got it. You know what I'm saying? The computer does it, tells them how much, you know, how to cut it and everything, and bada bing, bada boom, you're off. You know what I'm saying? You can't get any better than that. And they have great customer service, and that's one thing that I truly enjoy, is that if you're gonna have a business, you need to have great customer service. So if you want that, if that's what you're looking for, you're looking for a company with great prices and great customer service, go to Perfect Touch in North Philadelphia and get your windows tinted or get your car cleaned out. It doesn't matter how bad the stains are on the rugs or on the back seat or the front seat. It doesn't matter. They get all of it. They get all of it. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and give. You know what? I'm gonna go one little further. I'm gonna tell you, follow them on Instagram. You know, if you're not already following them, I'm gonna tell you to follow them real quick, and then see, just look through what they have. You know, it speaks for themselves. You know what I'm saying? It speaks for themselves. It's a really good company, and it's ran really good. So you can find them on Instagram at the_perfect_touch215. Again, that's Instagram at the_perfect_touch215. Just go over there, see what they got, and I promise you, just by their Instagram, you'd be like, damn, they're legit. They're legit. They don't play no games. You know what I'm saying? They're legit. Alright. Also, guys, I want to give a shout out to Ching the Barber. He hooked me up. Just did an episode with them not too long ago, so I'm going to release that right after, probably in the next couple days. So stay tuned for that as well. You know what I'm saying? And last but not least, guys, I just made an Instagram page for the Philly Talks podcast. If you can go and give me a follow and some likes, that'd be great. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm going to be putting up some of the snippets, and that's where you can see that what future episodes are going to come out, who I recorded with already, who I'm going to try to record with, and when the new episodes are out. So that's the best way to stay in touch with Philly Talks right now. Go on the podcast. I'll be announcing everything on there from now on. And it doesn't get any better than that. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep moving forward. Sorry. So in this episode, it's me and Rick. We're talking about UFC Woodley versus Burns. That's coming out Saturday, I think the 30th, I believe, May 30th. So the May 30th card is here. We're about to go see it. We give our little predictions on what's going on. If you like MMA, this is a spot for you. You know what I'm saying? All right. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your boy, Big Baby Steve. And let's just get this song started. Let's just get it started.
William Hill.
How I sound? Do I sound better than I did last time?
Better? I guess the same.
All right. Still wanted to make sure. The last one was like iffy, but now I'm not connected to the car, so I should be all right. What's popping, Pop?
You know, another day in...
Another day in quarantine. What was Zane playing with when you sent me that picture this morning? I know it looked like alphabet, but was it a puzzle?
Oh, so we got in his baby room, we put down a mat. And it's, you know, one of them, you know, tummy time mat stuff. You know.
Okay.
Basically, it's like a wrestling mat.
Oh, snap. Like, you got Zane already doing alphabets and puzzles? Oh, like, shit.
I mean, hey. Did you hear about the 13-year-old kid from California that graduated?
No.
From college? Like, some... With his bachelor's degree? He's only 13.
Like, how does that even happen?
I don't know. He's a genius.
What the? 13?
Yes, sir.
What were you doing at... I don't even know what I was doing at 13. I think at 13, I just started discovering girls. I was like, oh, girls have boobs. Okay. All right. I wonder what that is about. That's what I was doing at 13.
Yeah, 13 was that 8th grade? No, 7th grade. Yeah, that's when I started wrestling.
No, he was the way he had to be, though. I ain't know nothing about sports. I was like, oh, sports, that's nasty. But I learned. Bye, bro. So, before we even get to our fight predictions, you know what I'm saying? What's up with, you sent me the joint with Anderson and McGregor. Anderson calling out Conor McGregor saying he want to fight.
And so your boy,
like, yeah, let's do it. Like, what?
So your boy Anderson, right? Obviously, he said, I'm about to get this payday no matter what happens. But how he going to, first of all, how's Silva trying to make 176? Like, let's start there. He's saying, like, yeah, he said he'll make 176. McGregor said, cool, whatever. We in here.
Wow. See, I knew it had to be something because there was no way Anderson's making 55, and there's no way I don't think McGregor would go up to 85. Because I think at 70, he's just feeling good. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just feeling all right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he would be able to make, like, he could make 85, sure, but he just, it wouldn't be him. It would be like a slower version, like, more fatter, not that strong. It just, it wouldn't work out. But yeah, I thought it would be 70, but I was like, I don't think he can make 70.
Right, so that's
right. And I think that's why they never made the super fight with George St. Pierre.
Right.
They were like, because he knew he couldn't make 70, so it makes sense. Like, he wants to do 76. But that doesn't even do anything for Conor. I don't think, like, that's not a weight division. Like, he can't, like. That, like, him fighting Anderson doesn't put him any closer to the 155 title or the 170 title. It's like...
Well, that's... Okay, so that's where we're going to caveat to that is Usman said, I'll fight McGregor at 70. That's an easy paycheck for me. He said, let's do it. And McGregor, quiet. And that's when Silva posted that and McGregor responded to Silva. And then Usman... responded again and said, wow, so you taking on those fights, but what's up with who says no to a title shot? I mean, he's like, obviously, you know why, because come on now.
Right. And it's like, that's a real big money fight right there. Like, that's hella money right there. Which I don't even blame Conor for if he did choose Anderson over Uth. Like, don't get me wrong. I personally, as a hardcore fan, would think it'd be a good fight. But I don't think... I think Conor would be like, Conor's at the point where it's like, it needs to make more than just sense for the division. It needs to make money sense as well. Like, I need to sell this fight. I need to sell myself, and I need to sell, like, the fighter that I'm fighting as well. And I don't think Usman would give him that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Usman only had Kobe Covington to give him that rivalry type stuff. But, like, other than that, like, there was nothing really, you know, maybe if Usman would have jumped on the Masvidal train and right afterwards, after they had, like, words at the airport and stuff, then maybe it would be more of a massive fight.
Nobody wants to fight Usman. Because that's what Usman said. What's up, Masvidal? Why are you trying to run it back with Nate? Like, who's why y'all ducking this title shot? Like, I don't understand. Like, what's up? So Masvidal not trying to fight him. Connor not trying to fight him. And Leon Edwards can't fight him because of the whole UK
pandemic.
Yeah, he can't leave UK.
Oh, they closed their borders. Mm-hmm.
So he's like, so what's up?
Yeah, I don't. But I, at the same time, though, like, I can't even blame the other ones for not wanting to fight Usman. Like, I know it's a title shot, but like, I feel like they, I feel like they know, like, oh, like, I really need to get paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, you can tell Anderson's like, okay, I want to get paid, so I'll take this McGregor fight. And then Masvidal's like, I can make a lot more money with Diaz because of the first fight and how it ended. Like, that rematch will make money too. You know what I'm saying?
I guess, but
it... with Usman, I'm guessing everybody's like, well, that's a big risk with, like, little reward.
Be
like,
to me, little reward, like, it's the belt, and then you can talk what you want.
Right.
So if you have the belt, you can make your fights. But evidently yeah, not, because like, Usman can't get a fucking fight.
Facts. No one's like, nah, I'm good. Like, which is crazy, because I would have thought Masvidal would be like, yeah, like, cool, like, I'll fight you. But like, I'm guessing Masvidal's on the same page. He's just like, I just want my money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got that BMF title. Ain't nobody taking it from me. Might as well fight Diaz again and make another bank day. Because they made really good money. So like, I'm pretty sure the UFC will pay them good money. Even in this pandemic, I'm pretty sure the UFC will still come out. Be like, oh, that's a really good fight. We'll promote that. But like, it's gonna be hard because they're just going off pay-per-view buys now. So it's just like the gate. Mm-hmm. You're not getting the gate at all unless they open up at that point. But God knows what kind of regulations and protocols are gonna come and precautions when they decide like, okay, sports can happen again. Like, people start talking about like football might be starting the first couple of games with no fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is crazy. Like,
yeah.
And Dana also said, he's like, you know, he might hold Connor back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And so they can get some fans, because he's like, it's hard to give up a Connor gate. Like, you're looking at 20 million on a Connor gate. So I was like, if there's no fans, there's no gate. There's no gate. Like, you're paying Connor, because you're probably paying Connor what? Maybe in the range of 15 million, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe 10 million. Let's go with 10 million. They pay him. And then Connor makes all his money off the revenue, the gate, and the pay-per-views, the pay-per-view buys. So he gets, you know, a big portion of that, which comes up to maybe, let's say, in his pocket, another 5 to 10 million. So he has 20 million that he's fighting for. Bang. Without that gate, you're taking, and just the pay-per-view buys, like, you're probably making 15 million. For Connor. And Connor's like, hey, I'm happy with that. But the UFC's like, you know what? We're not, because we were expecting that gate to really give us some cash back for the next one. So.
But I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in the foreseeable future. Like, you don't know how long this is going to ride out for. So, what? A year, 2 years? Like,
right. I don't see Dana being like, oh yeah, let's run it. Like, I feel like, especially a fight with Anderson Silva, I feel like that's something he would want to put on pay-per-view and then also really get a crowd for. You know, but my thing is, where do you do it at? Like, yeah. Do you do it on Fight Island, or do you do it like in Vegas or like Florida? Like, that's also like the big thing. You know, maybe Dana's hoping like, okay, well, we'll take the fight to Fight Island, mm-hmm. and then hopefully fans can come too. That'd be a real crazy thing, but I don't see Connor at all fighting until fans are allowed into the arena. But he did say, I'll see you guys in
right,
July,
that's what he,
a couple
yeah.
weeks ago. So I was like, God only knows. You know what I'm saying? Because they tweak so much stuff out that it just be like, bro, like, at what point? At what point do we know what the truth is at this point?
Right.
But that's where we're at with that right now. And then also the the strawweight champ.
Valentina?
No, no, sorry, not strawweight. Is it the flyweight? For,
oh, no, that, Valentina's flyweight. Wait, you talking about females or male?
The one that just beat Joanna, who just, like, deformed Joanna.
Yeah.
I forget her name. But she just called out
Rose.
She just called out Rose. I was like, oh shit. Like,
Rose don't want that.
So I think Rose is the only person that like was kind of complaining about like fighting during the pandemic. So I think Dana was like, well, we're not gonna force it. But like, I like that matchup though. I wouldn't mind watching that fight again. But that's a really good fight.
Well, Rose don't want that. Rose coming off of.
I don't know. Rose might want that. You know what I'm saying? Rose might be like, you know what?
But you get a title shot right after a loss?
Yeah, exactly. I'll take a title shot. Like, let's run that joint right back. Like, I'll take it. So I can see that fight happen. But all right, we're going to do our predictions and see what's up. So let me go find, I think the first fight is, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's Mackenzie Dern, right?
Oh, hello. All right. I think I came out real quick, but that's all right.
Came out what?
I pressed something and I was off and I'm back.
All right. So I think the first fight is Mackenzie Dern versus Hannah.
This weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. This weekend. See, I thought this weekend was the Nunez versus Spencer fight, but no, that's down the that's in June, June 6th, I believe. This is the Woodley versus Burns. That's this fight card coming up this Saturday.
Hold on.
So. Which it ain't too bad. Burns, they call out Woodley, so it should be a
good I don't really know anything about Burns, really.
He's like one of those up-and-coming guys. He's a really good, like, submission specialist, but he's been working on his hands. So, like, and he's just dangerous. From the last fight that I saw him fight at, it just seemed like he came out in the first round too explosive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the second is when he got the finish, I believe. So like I feel like you can't do that with Woodley, especially in a 5-round fight. Like
yeah, well I don't even know like when's yeah. Let's see last when the last time Woodley fought Usman, which is like ages ago.
Yeah, and that was a straight pure domination. That was like I'm gonna give you a wrestling clinic just for everybody to see. Like the amount of pressure that Usman, like I'm not surprised no one wants to fight him. Like, you know what I'm saying? They could call it whatever they want to call it and say that he's not gonna sell fights and he's not an exciting fighter, but like at the end of the day, like that's a strong dude.
Yeah.
That nobody wants to get held down by for 5 rounds and get beat up. You know what I'm saying? But in his defense, he did put on a good fight his
last what I was thinking too. Why doesn't now that Covington left, what did he left? AK or what was it? Top Team? Where was he at? Where was he training at? He just left with the.
Covington just left AT&T.
So boom, American make that Top fight with Masvidal. That's. Come on. How that don't sell.
Facts. Kobe's going for, and I think that's why he left. Because I think. He's going to try to get his striking a little more better, but I feel like he thought, like, if I stay at AT&T, like, Masvidal's going to be there, and he's going to see me train, and he's going to figure out, like, what I'm trying to do. So, like, if we do fight, like, it's going to be weird, because he's going to know what I'm going for and how I'm coming. And I don't think he wanted that. You know, George was hilarious. George said, I'm not even worried about it. He said, he a clown. He said the truth will come out. And then Ariel Helwani was interviewing him, and he said what happened. He was like, well, he said my guy basically told Dan Lambert that he don't feel safe in the gym. I don't know why, and he had like that grin on his face, I was like, oh no, like, I guess there's some real beef, like, coming through, like, heavy. So I wouldn't be, and like, if Masvidal doesn't get the DS fight,
but I was gonna say that, but isn't his jaw still fucked up from Usman, or is he fixed up?
Oh no, I think well, yeah, because I saw him, he did an interview and he was talking, he looked like he was fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure he's pretty healed up by now, you know. I mean, maybe he needs like a couple mm-hmm. more months before he's cleared, maybe like another month or two, but like the way he was talking, it didn't seem like he was like injured right. or anything like that, or he was favoring it or anything. Like he was talking and didn't seem like he was like his jaw was getting stuck or he was mumbling his words or anything like that. I think he's back on track. So that might be the fight for Masvidal. So, because I think that's Masvidal's thing, is like, I made so much money and became like extra popular with the fans when I knocked mm-hmm. out Ben Askren, when he was talking all that talk, that now Colby Covington is like the same way. And the best thing about Colby Covington is that even when he loses, he just lost to Usman, people are still going to want to see yeah. him get beat up. They're going to want him to talk shit, and then they're going to want him to get beat up again. And I think Masvidal knows that, and he's like, if I mm-hmm. win this, it makes me even more popular. But I don't know what Masvidal wants. If he's not picking the fight up for... I would understand if he was trying to beat up Colby, get some money, and then look for a title shot, but like, if Usman's over here talking about like, oh, like, there's a title shot right here, yeah. then I think it'd be a little different. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Masvidal too, I just saw, like, not too long ago, him training with Bo Nickel and Anthony Cassar from Penn State, you know, on the wrestling game. So, that's going to be, like, Bo Nickel. Oh, yeah? And Cassar are both interested in doing MMA. And so that's going to be cool to see in the near future.
So my man was
a runner-up his freshman year at 74, won two titles at 84, and won a title his senior year at 97. So he's probably, I mean, but he didn't cut weight. So I can see him going 70 easily. Yeah,
I could see him at 85 or 70. Yeah,
and Cassar wanted a heavyweight, but
I could see that
he can be 205, no problem.
How much did he weigh during
last year? When he won it, I think he was weighing around like 240, and this year I think he was coming up to almost 250. But he was making 97 like okay. all year all before that. Before he like jumped up to heavyweight, but like, he's pretty tall and like he put on some muscle like crazy. But I mean, I don't know, maybe he goes heavyweight.
Yeah, I can see him do. You gotta remember, ain't nothing really happening at heavyweight right now, and none of the organizations like Bellator, UFC, like ain't nothing popping off right now. So a big guy like him that can really put the pressure on you mm-hmm. for three rounds while he begins, like. I wouldn't be surprised by his seventh or eighth fight, he's getting called up by the UFC and then like, hey, or Bellator, even Bellator, I wouldn't be surprised.
Wrestlers.
It seems like Bellator is taking all the college wrestlers like up. And, like,
but I mean, they train with it.
Hopefully, become stars in the future.
That's AT&T, but I don't know. They were training with Masvidal, but I guess so because like Ed Ruth, he's at Bellator. Pico's at Bellator. Jenkins. Iceman. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to, which is funny because like the ones in the UFC that have successful wrestling careers, like what's this dude, Giuseppe, the one, like he was okay, he was a good wrestler, but he wasn't like, you know, like these guys like Pico and Jenkins and stuff like that, and he's in the UFC, but like the real credential wrestlers are at Bellator. Right. Like even like Faber the other not too long ago, he posted about it was like some interview, it was like who's the worst person to beat you up in wrestling or some shit like that, and Faber was like calling out Palmer, one of the Palmer brothers, no, not those, these guys,
oh, Lance Palmer,
they're from Penn State wrestlers, They're twins. One coaches out at Cleveland State, and the other one's at Lockhaven. And I don't. He doesn't remember which one he wrestled, which one fucked him up like that. But he said, like, he was like, they literally had me on my neck, like, bad. And it's funny, because, like, Faber is, like, the only one. Like, I think Mendez is the most, I think, Phil Davis was a national champion. He fought in the UFC. But now he's at Bellator. And Cain Velasquez is All-American. Bader went to the Bellator, too. So I think, like, Faber wasn't even that good of a wrestler. And, like, he made the most success in the UFC. Mendez was a lot better of a wrestler. But I think that's about it. Everybody else is on the other organization. Oh, well, yeah, because, like, not even. Because Cejudo, he didn't even wrestle in college. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's getting right straight to the Olympics. Interesting. All right. So let's pick the first fight. So we got Mackenzie Dern going against Hannah Cypress. Cypress, her last three fights, she's 2-1. She beat Paulina Vanya, and she beat Jody Escobel, I believe. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. But then she lost to Angela Hill by
Angela Hill ain't no joke
in the second round. Like, yeah. So, and it was like the late second round. And didn't Mackenzie just come? Isn't she coming off of? I know she just came off of a win.
She had a kid.
Small layoff for a minute.
And the win before that. I'm pretty sure she came off a loss. Where she came out overweight, whatever, and beat some girl.
Because
she missed weight. I know that was one of her last ones, but I don't know if she won her last fight.
Her last fight that she fought was October of 2019. She fought Amanda Ribas. Yeah, Amanda Ribas. She beat her by decision. And then she was supposed to fight Ariane Carlossi, I think it is. But it got canceled, so now she's fighting Cypress.
This is 115? She thinks she'd make 115? I don't know why she didn't just go up. She's always missing weight. Like, just go up to 125.
Tell me about it. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know if she thinks she doesn't feel strong at 125, or is she just... Her coach is like, oh, you're way bigger if you just go 115 and just blow up to 125 the next day. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I got Mackenzie.
She's doing that to herself. But I'm going with Mackenzie on this one. Just for her jiu-jitsu, I think I could see her going and grinding out another decision. Or a submission. I could see her, like, literally I could see her taking Cypress to the cage, bringing her down, and then working, like, a rear naked choke to finish it off. That's how I could see it going on. And then who's the other guy? Who I just had it. Oh, here we go. And then the other fight that's gonna be happening also is gonna be Roosevelt Roberts going
against. I don't even know who these dudes are. I don't like either of these people.
Brock Weaver was on the Contender Series. He's from Hawaii. He's like a really
good personality. That sounds like he's about to get knocked out.
But he's a brawler.
Oh.
not personality like, oh, I'm a nice guy. Personality like he hype. Like he be like, I'm ready to fight. Let's fucking fight. Like, I'm not trying to play no games. I'm not trying to shake no hands. Let's just get in there and fight. This is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life type of thing. They're going to be fighting at lightweight, 155. Oh no, sorry. No, is it 155? No, that's the main event. I think they're 170, if I'm not mistaken. Well, might be welterweight. Because Brock Weaver.
My man's name is Brock Weaver, and he's Hawaiian.
So I can see them. I.
Brock.
Yeah, tattooed all up. But he's funny. He's fun to watch. You're like, damn. Like, and you. He won his last fight, but he won because he was fighting Rodrigo Vargas, and Rodrigo. kneed him in the face while he had him pinned against the cage on the, like, on the ground. Mm-hmm. And while Weaver was trying to get up and he was still on his butt, Rodrigo just kneed him. Boom. And, like, dazed him out for a minute. And the referee just disqualified him, whatever. And even then, Brock was like, I don't want to win that way. Like, I'm good. And for the referee, like, no, your eyes rolled back. You're done. You know what I'm saying? Just take the win. So, I know for the fact he's coming out to show up for this fight. So, Roosevelt Roberts, I'm for a fact thinking that Weaver's going to come out. And Roosevelt's coming off 2-1, too. He won two fights, lost one. Mm-hmm. But I think Brock's going to come out and take care of this, I think, because he wants to fight and he wants to be in the UFC and he wants to get paid. That's for a fact. So he knows that to impress after his disappointing win, right, but after his last win, he's gonna want to get a knockout. He's going for the knockout. I'm saying Brock Weaver knockout in the first round. Yeah, like I think he's coming out hard and he's not playing with nobody. He's like, it's time. It's time for me to fight. I think right after that, I took the picture of the Duke, because he's a former Ultimate Fighter that made it onto the
Ultimate Fighter and Contender?
Contender series. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Billy. There we go. Billy Current. It's a Q. Quarantino? Quarantino, I think that's what his name is. Billy Quarantino. Yeah, he was on that Tough 22 with McGregor and Faber, and he won his preliminary fight, but then he lost his semi fight.
So good, man.
But then after that, he went back to the regional and fight. Yeah, and he got some wins, got it to the contender series, got a win there. So now he's fighting Spike Carlay. And I think Billy's gonna. He's one of those guys that, like, in the beginning he thought like he had to fight a certain way and whatever, and that he had to follow a certain game plan. But now he's like, oh, like, you know what? I know, like, fights don't turn out the way you want it. So, like, and I think he's comfortable everywhere. I'm going with Billy.
I think Spike is a cooler name, so I'm going with Spike.
Yo, go Spike. Oh, man. All right. So we picked that one. And then who else is going to be fighting on this bad boy of a fight card? I think the next one is the heavyweight, which is crazy because this heavyweight fight, once I find it, there we go. Once the betting lines for this heavyweight fight has gone crazy. Like, they're at stupid high numbers of who they think is going to get knocked out. So we got Balgoy Enoch.
Wow.
Versus
my man's last name Sake, we in there. That's Sake. It. He won and lose don't.
He won in that. I don't know. What's his name? Jesus. Ivanov ain't no joke. Ivanov is also coming off of his last three fights. He's coming off 2-1-2. He beat Big Ben. Yeah, and by decision. Then he also beat Ty Tuivasa. Bam Bam. I don't know if you've seen him, but he's the Hawaiian guy that has the tattoos on his waist. Yeah, he beat him by decision.
So you're telling me this man has all got decision and the betting line is knockout? This man's got all decisions. Derek Lewis, Ben,
and
you sure he's Hawaiian or he's not?
And the Hawaiian boy. Samoa? He might be Samoa.
From whatchamacallit.
Probably.
All right, I guess if he got those.
Don't take my word for it.
Sasuke Naruto?
Sasuke, his last. Yeah, his last two fights, he won a decision against Andre Arlovski, right? And then he knocked out Marcin Tybura within 1 minute of the first round.
They're all old. Heavyweight's a joke. Pick a freaking flip a coin. Yeah.
It's 50-50 on the heavyweights. That's why I said
that's what I'm saying. My boy Sake getting in there.
He's trying to wreck some stuff up. Yeah.
Second round knockout.
I'm gonna go with even off. I think it's gonna be a decision. Well, you know what? I don't want to say it's gonna be a decision, but if you would have told me in January that this co-main event was gonna be something to talk about and the betting lines were gonna be on crazy, I would have been like, no, like that's not how that works. Like, no. But I think because this is the only.
You sure? There's what the fuck is it? Cornhole championships. Don't forget those, Johns. You know cornhole.
What? I don't know what
the fucking cornhole? The game where it literally is like literally holes and like a hacky sack, like the sand thing, and you throw it in there. Yeah, those things are like real life championships. Okay. Like that's what's going on right now. So
what the fuck? You know what the crazy part? The degenerate gambler.
Heavy.
They probably been
like I don't even.
Like heavy.
Like what? How do you even set? So how you set lines for that?
Like that's crazy. That's what we're looking forward to. That we're like, oh yeah, we're gonna watch cornhole in this.
So, I don't know. Wow. Maybe people might be watching your city. As far as we go. Cornhole.
All right. No, I'm pretty sure everybody's gonna be watching the fucking. The only ones watching cornhole are the people that gambled on it. That's it. Everybody else is gonna be like, nah, we watching this fight. For a fact. All right, so that comes to the main event, which is Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. I'm going with Woodley on this one. Burns, I think, like I said, I think he's gonna come out like a bat out of hell.
Yes, exactly. I think it's gonna be a tilt situation. Round,
Woodley's gonna be like, okay, Yeah,
crack.
It's gonna look like Burns doing good, and then Woody's gonna be like, "Gotcha, thank you. All right, give me my check. I'm ready to go." Type situations. Like I don't see it going anywhere. I can see, and the crazy part, I don't even. I can see Woody trying to take him down.
I mean, everybody black belt in UFC at this point.
But I,
like, you know, that don't mean shit.
But I don't like. I can see him. I can see Woodley taking Burns down. I just don't know if he will do. I was if he would try to do ground and pound or anything. I can see him holding position and just getting some ground and pound in. But I don't see him taking any big moves or trying to throw big blows or anything like that. He'll probably just be like, okay, I'm just gonna sit here, tire you out until you finally get to the third or fourth round, and then I'm gonna take advantage. I'm just gonna knock you out. Type situations, yeah. Unless they go all the same.
Yeah, I feel like
I'm pretty sure Woodley's gonna win this fight for a fact. Yeah, and that's nothing against Burns. Like Burns is a good fighter. He's explosive. He does his thing, but
look at Woodley's fucking hit
list. Has what it takes right now.
You know, like
facts. Like Woodley and Woodley's like, you know what? I've been waiting to come back. I'm gonna make my name off you real quick, and then get my name back out there so let everybody know, like, hey, I'm still here. Type situation. So I can see that. All right. So those are my picks: McKenzie, Billy, Brock, Evenoff, and Woodley. That's what I got. So, but don't worry, I'm gonna send everybody some. Fight card. I don't know. Should we do fight predictions?
When is this?
Fight predictions the day of?
Yeah. When's the real?
I'm pretty sure
everyone's
card. Gonna be watching. So.
That was at 250. Is that the next one? With I forget who the fuck. I think that yeah, the Nunez. I don't know.
The Nunez card. Yeah. UFC 250. The thing is, they're not putting out the.
I'm pretty sure they got something.
Yeah, they put out the main event, but they're not putting out the fight cards. Nah, they got the prelims and the early prelims, but like the main card, they haven't put out yet. I think like this one just came out. This fight card just came out maybe a couple days ago. So I think that's how they're going to do it. They're just going to, because I guess they're not too sure. The whole testing of the corona and stuff. So they, like, you know, in case they didn't make a quick switch. But, yeah. But right now, it's just the main event.
We should do a fight companion or on one of these
ones. Maybe that are announced.
What's next? Yeah.
I wouldn't mind doing a fight companion for UFC 250 for the Nunes fight. I wouldn't mind that at all. Because Spencer's a really good fighter. And like, I mean, a lot of people don't give her the credit that she deserves, but you know what I mean? She may be the underdog, but like, I think she could
the goal.
She can win.
But she's not getting out the first round. Come on, get out of here.
Stuff, so you know. Yeah. But it depends. All it takes is for Nunes to eat something, you know, something that's not fresh or anything that's the day of or the day before while she's recovering. And
I don't even know why she's making it. She should just be fighting at 45 at this point. She should be like, fuck it. I don't even have to cut weight. Fight me at whatever, because I'm the best. Like, fuck 35. She should just, yeah, like, fuck it. Just stay fighting.
Yeah, but I think that's what everyone's done. I think everyone has done that. Yeah. She's the only one that's like, I'll defend the belt. Like, what's up? I'm here. Like, cause even Henry Cejudo, before he retired, was like, yeah, we all know I'm not making 125 again. So, it, like, this is, like, 135 and up is where I'm going to be at from now on. Like, but she's like, nah, I'm going to fight. Like, I'll defend this belt at both. Which is, I think, will be great for her legacy.
Yeah. Because,
you know, for me, I think she's kind of the best. So, that's just me. But all right, I'm definitely all right. So I'm definitely gonna hit up. I'm gonna hit up Sam and all of them, and I'm gonna try to get something together.
Yeah,
God, that would be
fun. I'm with that.
A nice little fight companion. That'd be popular.
All right.
All right, brother. I think that's it for right now. I'll talk to you tomorrow. We're gonna get another couple episodes done, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. We've been another episode of